Yes. So we're in the book of Hebrews, as you know. And today we're looking at, excuse me, chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now, the thing about when you're preaching a series in a book of the Bible, you're kind of forced to preach the hard ones, you know? You can't, like, we're not preaching every verse because it would take us 2 years to do this series, but in the book of Hebrews, there's some real challenging portions of scripture, and we're not going to skip them over. We're going to preach them to the best of our ability, and today is a little bit of one of those owie ones, so have fun. Amen. So, are y'all there? Chapter 2, verse 1. Excuse me. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So, Father, we thank you for your word. Every last bit of it is precious. Every T that's been crossed and every I dotted is been inspired by you. So, Father, as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning, I pray that your anointing would rest on it, Lord, and that, Father, you know, you give us some hard words to have to digest from time to time. So, Lord, I pray that each of us, I'm not delivering this to this family, I'm in it too. So, Father, help us to absorb your word this morning and let it penetrate to the very depths of our being. Where transformation and change needs to occur, Father, I pray that each of us would be have open hearts to hear your word and to step out in obedience in those areas that we need to be attending to in our own personal lives. So, Father, bless your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, there are four different warnings in the book of Hebrews, and this is the first warning. The warning to pay attention. So, when we look at the first verse, it says that we must pay more careful attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And when you hear the word drift, what comes to your mind when you hear the word drift? Floating, yes. Anybody else? In a boat.
Kayaking,
drifting, yes. Anybody else? What comes to mind? Pardon?
Lost,
yes. Yes, that's right. The power of the drift, dragging the ducks away, yeah. So another thing, I actually Googled a couple of things to see what other ways we can use the word drift. And, well, I didn't have to Google this one because we just came through the worst winter of all winters. Snow, this was not.
70s.
You're right. In the 70s, I was in Montreal, and we had nasty ones then. We had snow drift. You're right. The 70s were pretty bad for, excuse me. We lived in, when we were in Montreal, oh boy, I'm really going off on a bunny trail here. Oh well. When we lived in Montreal, we always lived in duplexes growing up, my mom and my dad and my brother and I. And We all had our backyards that were fenced and, you know, maybe 4 feet high. How tall am I? Yeah, about 4 feet. And there were years where you'd see no fences. You'd go out on the back balcony and you'd see no fences because they were all covered with snow. Like just, yeah. So snow drifts, that's a drift. If you're into motorsports, my brother really watches a lot of these car racing things on TV and he really, really likes them. And in motorsports, you might, when you think of the word drift, you might think about race cars when they intentionally skid to navigate a tight turn, and that's called drifting. Actually, I do some drifting around some of the corners in North Bay. No, only kidding. Only kidding. And if you're a pilot, I used to be a fast driver, but I'm not anymore. I'm a good girl. If you're a pilot, you might think about the wind drift, the effect the wind direction has on the intended heading of an airplane. And if you did not get a lot of sleep last night, you might drift into a nap right here in your pew. And that's okay. So the word drift might mean many things if you get my drift. Drifting can be a good thing, but there's also drifting that can be quite dangerous. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? If you've been to Niagara Falls, put up your hand. Everybody? Okay, just about everybody. On the Niagara River, if you're in a boat, you'll see sign after sign warning of drifting towards the falls. Because that would not be a good thing, would it? To be in a boat and drift towards the falls and then over the falls. So there's signs. You know, there are signs for many different reasons to be aware of drifting. And the one that we are going to look at is a dangerous kind of spiritual drifting. And that is drifting away from salvation. Now, the warning in this particular portion of Scripture is really strong. It says, we must pay more careful attention to the truths we have heard in case we slip away from them. And what are the truths that we've heard? They're the truths about salvation, of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they're talking about here in this particular portion of Scripture. So the words pay more careful attention or to pay heed to means to give attention to listen very, very carefully. And we have to take note of how intense the warning is here. We must not only pay attention to the gospel, we must passionately pay attention to it. We are to pay the utmost attention to the gospel of salvation. God's final revelation, his last word that he will ever speak to mankind, has been given in his Son, Jesus Christ. Salvation has been offered to us. We can now become acceptable to God and live eternally with him. Salvation has been offered to us. We can now live righteously and godly in this present world. We can now conquer the trials and the temptations and the bondages and the enslavements, the sin and the death of this world. But we must pay more careful attention to the gospel of salvation, or else the word says that we will drift away. So what does it mean to drift away from the gospel of salvation? Some of you already mentioned a couple of the descriptors. To drift means to flow past, to glide past, to slip past. It's a picture of a ship that drifts past the harbor. And if a ship drifts past a harbor, It's because the captain miscalculated the landing, or because of carelessness or lethargy or a lack of concern, inattentiveness, a storm. There's a long, lengthy list of reasons why a captain would drift away from the safety of a harbor. But the point is this. We must all anchor our lives to the truths of salvation so that the ship of our lives doesn't drift away from the safety of salvation. William Barclay was an old-time commentator, and he has an excellent comment on this particular verse. This is what he says. He said, "For most of us, the threat of life is not so much that we should plunge into disaster, but that we should drift into sin. There are few people who deliberately and in a moment turn their backs on God. There are many who day by day drift farther and farther away from Him. There are not many who in one moment of time commit disastrous sin. There are many who, bit by bit and almost imperceptibly, involve themselves in some situation and suddenly awake to find that they have ruined life for themselves and broken someone else's heart. We would do well to be continually on the alert against the peril of a drifting life." That's William Barclay. It doesn't happen in an instant. The drifting occurs over time. Revelation 2 and 4 says this, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." Deuteronomy 8 and 11, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day." Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God. How could you possibly forget him? But we do. We do. We slip into that. We begin to drift. Jeremiah 2 and 13 says, "My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water." The drift. We must pay more careful attention. Because just as the book of Hebrews was written so many years ago, it's just as applicable to us today. There was drifting happening then, and there's drifting that happens today as well. So, in verse 2, it says, "For if the message spoken by the angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how can we escape? How can we escape if we ignore such a great salvation?" So this is the first reason we must not drift away from salvation. Judgment under the law of God was very strict. It says here the message or the word spoken by angels, and it refers to the law of God which was given to Moses on Mount Sinai. And these great and magnificent creatures stood as the mediators between man and God. And this was a great moment, and it gave a great thing to mankind at that point in history. It was the law of God. And the point here is this. Judgment under the law was very strict. It says every violation, every transgression, every disobedience had its appropriate punishment. If a person broke a law, he or she was judged, condemned, and bore the punishment laid out by that law. Just go back to the Old Testament. There were a myriad of laws. So the great danger was to deliberately reject the law of God. If a person deliberately rejected God's law, that person was sentenced to die, and the punishment was irreversible. Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. We're talking about spiritual death here. Spiritual death is an eternity separated from God. So we look in verses 3 to 4. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So here's another reason why we must not slip away from salvation. Judgment under the Lord's word is to be much more severe than the judgment under the law. So the judgment under the word that we're reading today from the book of Hebrews, is much more dangerous than it was in the Old Testament times, the law of God. Why? Because there shall be no escape from judgment because salvation is so great. Just, we don't even have to think too hard to think about all of the sin upon this earth. Not just today. It's bad now. It's always been bad. Lying, cheating, stealing, killing, acts of terror, slaughter, war, immorality, the dirt, the filth, and the pollution of humans' behavior, the broken homes, the hurt and pain, the disease, accidents, suffering. Think of all of this evil, and yet there is so much more evil in the world that we could ever even come close to listing. And this is what makes salvation so great. It's the deliverance. Salvation is the deliverance from all of the evil and all of the suffering and all of the death in this world. Imagine being delivered from all of that corruption. That is what salvation is. But in addition to that, it's more. Salvation saves us for God and delivers us to God. Amen. Salvation makes us. Salvation made me acceptable to God. And it gives us eternal life, the glorious privilege of living forever with God. But salvation is even more than that. It gives us a new heaven and a new earth, a perfect world in which to live and work forever and ever, in a world in which there will be no suffering, a world in which there will be no death, a beautiful kingdom. But salvation is even more than that. It is to be rewarded. We are to have reward, heaped upon reward. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, there's going to be mansions and enormous dwelling places, and there's going to be crowns, and there's going to be ruling and reigning and duties and responsibilities. There's going to be a glorious life of serving and worshiping the Lord God himself. Forever and ever and ever. But salvation is even more than that. Salvation gives us a Savior, the Son of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. It gives us a Savior who loves us, who has loved us so much that he sacrificed his life and he died for us. It gives us a Savior whom we can love and serve, a Savior to whom we can commit our lives and our loyalty to and know that it is for the highest, highest good. And quite honestly, so much more could be said about salvation, but the picture is clear. If we neglect such a great salvation, the word says, how can we escape? We can't. There is no way God will ever let us escape if we neglect the salvation of his son. The scripture makes it perfectly clear. There is no escaping. There shall be no escape from judgment because the word of salvation was given by the Lord himself. He didn't send the gospel of salvation to earth through angels. He himself brought the gospel of salvation to us. He, the sovereign Lord, the sovereign majesty of the universe, is the person who has brought salvation to us. And he did it by dying for us. Jesus, the Son of God, sacrificed his life for us. And if we neglect so great a salvation, the judgment that will fall upon us is bound to be much more severe. If you've known him and you drift away, it's a picture of a person who neglects the salvation of Christ, someone who ignores him, someone who shows contempt for Christ, someone who makes light of Christ, someone who doesn't think that Christ is worth the commitment, someone who rebels against Christ, someone who denies Christ, someone who rejects Christ, someone who curses Christ. When God has given his own son to the world and we treat him that way, what can we expect? An honest person will know the answer to that. There will be no escape for the person who neglects so great a salvation. There will be no escape from judgment because there have been so many witnesses, the scripture says here, to salvation. The Lord himself was the first to bear witness of salvation. Then the eyewitnesses of his life upon earth proclaimed the salvation that is in him. Those first disciples, they kept the story going. God himself revealed evidence by giving the disciples power to work signs, to work miracles, to work wonders. One of the beautiful things about the Gospels is whenever you see Jesus proclaiming the word, whenever he sat down on the side of a mountain and began to preach, what always backed up his word? Signs and wonders, miracles, healings. His power always backed up his word. And in addition to this, God gave believers, all of you, all of us, God has given believers the gifts of the Holy Spirit. God changed the lives of believers and gave them the power and gifts to live for him and to serve him in carrying out the message of salvation to a world that is lost and dying. We're Pentecostal, right? Baptism in the Holy Spirit. That is not for us. The purpose of the baptism in the Holy Spirit, for the gifts of the Spirit to be flowing in us, for us to have the power of God imparted to us, is so that we will be distributors to this world, to this city, to this community. Wow. Sometimes I don't want that responsibility. It's hard. It's heavy. You almost always have to be on guard and ready. And sometimes, to be honest, I'm just tired. Anybody else feel that way sometimes? Yep. Nobody else? Am I the only one? You know? But I have to wind myself up and get myself out of that mindset because, you know, I'm here for such a short time. We're all here for such a short time in view of eternity. And he has an expectation of us to be walking out our salvation, to be sharing the word, to be telling people about Jesus, such a great salvation. And here's the point. With so many witnesses, that would be all of us. We're witnesses to the power of Jesus and to his salvation. With so many witnesses, no person can ever expect to escape the judgment of God if he or she neglects the salvation of Christ. So what is the solution for spiritual drifting? You need to link your life to something and someone strong and secure. You need a solid anchor. And we have an anchor. His name is Jesus. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yes. The best way to prevent spiritual drifting is to stay firmly anchored to the hope that we have in Jesus. Amen. It's not that hard, people of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 6, 18 to 19, therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. Anchor your life to Jesus. So, it's not an easy message to preach, one of the warnings of Hebrews. Unfortunately, we've got three more that we're going to be walking through as we go through this book. So we need to be aware of the danger of drifting away from God. There is a powerful question posed in this passage that you cannot ignore. You could call it the big question, or the unavoidable question, or the million-dollar question. But it is a personal question that everyone who drifts away must answer seriously. It's in verse 3. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus himself and then delivered to us by those who heard him speak? That was the NLT. I like the way they word it. So how can you escape if you ignore it? Don't ignore it. You can't. There is no way. It is hopeless without Jesus. So bind your life to that solid anchor of hope in Jesus Christ. And when you do that, you will not be able to drift away. Would you close your eyes for a moment, please? It's a serious word today. Just spend a moment focusing in on the Lord. Have you found yourself drifting? The Word of God is so powerful. You know, sometimes when we're in a service like this and we hear a message and the preacher preaches a word like that, And you think to yourself, oh my goodness, how does she know that about me? If you've drifted, it's okay. Because today is the day you're going to drop down your anchor. You're going to anchor your life to Jesus Christ today. And I don't want you to walk out of this room, out of this building, without committing yourself to Jesus, that you're going to drop your anchor today. So everybody's eyes are closed. I want you to confess it before the Lord that you found yourself drifting by putting up your hand. Thank you. Yes, thank you. If you have been drifting, be honest before the Lord, okay? This is between you and Him. Confess it before Him today. Don't walk away. If you've been drifting, put up your hand. Yes. So what I want you to do, those of you that put your hands up, I want you to take a minute where you're at, ask Him to forgive you. Tell Him you love Him. And commit to dropping your anchor today. Just pray that prayer in your heart today. And the hardest part of that is following through. Be steadfast. Don't allow the enemy to snatch this away from you today. Commit to Him. Commit to the Lord. Father, we thank You for Your word. And personally, Lord, I am glad for these warnings that I stumble across on a regular basis. Your word is filled with them. Warnings and corrections, and they're there for our benefit so that we can keep on the straight and narrow, so that when we need to, we drop our anchor yet once again, so that we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because He's the author and He is the perfecter of our faith. So Lord, I pray for those that raise their hands today, Lord, as they've brought their drift to You, that they would know without a shadow of a doubt, without any hesitancy, excuse me, that You love them, that You have not forsaken them, and that You're in the exact same place You were the last time they left You, waiting for them to come back. So, Father, pull them in from the drift by the power of Your Spirit, Lord, like a lifeline. Just pull them in. And, Father, as they set their anchors today, Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, You would empower them to keep their minds fixed on You, that their hearts, if they become hearts of stone, that those hearts would become hearts of flesh, tender to Your voice. And Father, there was a whole bunch of us here that didn't raise their hands. But Lord, we all drift. So Father, help us all. Help us all, every last one of us, and those of this family that aren't here today, Lord, to maintain a steadfastness with You. How can we ignore such a great salvation? Father, I pray Your hand of blessing over each one. God, that You would just maintain a steady course for us, Lord, by the guiding and leading of Your Holy Spirit. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. And all His people said, amen. Amen. Okay, before you go,